Okay, good evening, everybody. We're this week's Parsha is Parsha's Tazria, and after the first Aliyah of Parsha's Tazria, or the first part of the first Aliyah of Parsha's Tazria, the Parsha switches to the discussion of the Metzora, of Tzoras, which takes us through a good part of next week's Parsha as well, Parsha's Metzora, which is very often in most years which aren't leap years connected as one Parsha. But we'll try to talk today a little bit about Tzoras, and it's not the simplest of all subjects, as one might imagine. Specifically, the second Aliyah in the Parsha starts sort of in the middle about the very detailed halachos of the Negoim, right? Negoim ve'olois. This is an example of some of the most complex halachos, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. You know, Negoim is the subject of these Negoim is very, very complex and detailed, and we're not going to have, you know, Lefi Darkeinu, we're not going to have a complex halach discussion of the laws of Negoim. I couldn't give it, you couldn't hear it, it wouldn't work. But I do want to speak about this notion of Negat Tzoras. We've spoken about it in the past, we talked about it last year, and we've spoken about it many times, different aspects of the Negat Tzoras. It's of course a unique and significant din, because it's not just a din in the Torah, it's not just a halacha in the Torah, it's a halacha which is predicated on a supernatural phenomenon which Hashem put into the world that doesn't always function. It was really Maris Negoim was a sign, as Ramban speaks about and the Rambam speak about. It was a sign of the tremendous Hashras Hashchina, the presence of Hashem that was there in the people, such that when something was off, there were discolorations that appeared in the houses, in the clothing, in the people themselves. And the idea that it comes is significant, and the idea over what it comes. And we've discussed many times in the past about the power of speech, and why the power of speech, which is uniquely definitive of a human being, is the person who's called a medaber, ruach memalala, that when he fails in that area specifically, so the person has this kind of a transformation that's specific to the Negat Tzoras. And that's one element of the significance of Tzoras that we can talk about. And we know also that Negat Tzoras fits in the scheme of things in terms of Tumah. Tzoras is a deadening of the flesh in a certain patch of the skin of the person, a certain part of the body. And Tumah generally is an expression of Misa, of death. And so Tzoras would fit that category. As the Pasuk says in the end of Parshas Vehaloscha, when Miriam became a Metzoras, Alna Tehi Kames. They perceived the Metzora as a mace, as this dead flesh, right, the leprous flesh, which is even the way people perceive the leprosy, which is akin, not the same, as the Tzoras we speak about here. But it's a little bit of Misa, a little bit of death, the way it is seen there. And that's also something to look at and to discuss. What I would like to speak about today, however, is a particular aspect of Tzoras, of the many layers of depth that are spoken about in the realm of Tzoras. And again, I've only told you a couple. There are many levels on which it's seen, and we'll try to view a little bit more of it as we go along tonight. But one of those layers is present in a pasuk in this aliyah, where the pasuk says as follows: Nega tzoras kisiya ba'adam b'hu el ha-kayin. If a person develops a nega tzoras, he's brought to the kayin v'ra kayin v'nes eis levana ba'ar v'yav chaser levanam chiyas basar chay bas eis. He sees that there's a white welt in the skin, and it has developed there as well white hair. U'michiyas basar chay bas eis. And there's some healing of the flesh. There seems to be some healing in the middle of the wound. This would also be a siman, you know, separate from the Seir Lavan. Tzaras neshenes hibar b'sarai. So it describes that it's a pernicious tzaras in the skin, and the kohen should be metameit. And then the pasuk says, v'imparech tifrach hatzaras bar. But if the tzaras spreads on the skin, v'chisusa hatzaras es kolar hanega, and the tzaras covers the entire skin of the nega, what that means, meroisha v'yad ragla, from head to toe, from head to foot, l'chol mare yinei kohen, to all the eyes of the kohen can see. The kohen observes, and the tzaras is covering all of his flesh. And he will purify the nega. He's all turned white. The whole skin, the whole body of the metzaira is turned white. Toru, so he's going to be pure. This is a great irony, this halacha. If a person has a little blotch of tzaras, the size of a gris, the size of a bean, it could be metame. But if a person has tzaras that covers the entire flesh of the person's completely taken over by the leprosy, so then, tame. Then tohar, excuse me. Then he's going to be pure. Why should it be that way? I believe, I just don't have it in front of me, but I believe in one of the midrashim, medrash that was suitable especially for last week's parsha, where not last week's parsha I should say, but last week's special reading where we read parsha's Paraduma, where Paraduma, as you know, is the quintessential chok, and what makes it such a chok, so difficult to interpret, to understand, is the fact that the one who's involved in the Paraduma, whose tohar becomes tameh, even as the whole purpose of the Paraduma is to be metayer those who are tamei. Metayer is atmei, metamei is atahirim. Ironic. So there's the Medrash lists a number of ironies which are there in the Torah that are, you know, difficult to understand. That a person's not allowed to marry their sister-in-law, she's an erva, but on the other hand, there's a mitzvah to marry a sister-in-law in the case of Yibum. Different kind of examples like that. And if I'm not mistaken, this is also brought in one of the Midrashim as one of those classic examples. Tzaras is a problem if it's a speck, if it's not a speck but a small blotch. But if kula hafach lavan, if the whole thing turns white, toru becomes tar. You know, in the Seches Negoim, I mean, in the pasuk here, it goes on and says, uvyom heiras abasar chayitma. When he develops a little of the healed flesh, he becomes tame. That's what it speaks about in Negoim. When it stops, when it starts to heal, that's when he becomes tame, because then he's not completely white. So it's a tremendous irony. How does this? Why should things be this way? How does it work? So, I want to begin the discussion of this by looking at a Gemara where this pasuk of Kulei Hafach Lavan Torhu is brought, is quoted. It's an agoda. It's not a halachic Gemara. It's an agoda. And the usage of it, the citation of the pasuk, is a very interesting usage, very interesting choice of a quote of a pasuk, and as we'll see, and when I learn with you, I'll tell you how the Maral learns this Gemara, understands the Pshat in this Gemara, and then hopefully we'll broaden it to try to understand a little bit more. The Gemara says, Tanya Rav Nechemya Aimer. Now, this Gemara is part of a series. It's on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara is speaking about all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of issues which will arise around the time of Ben David Bo, what we call Ikfisa de Mashicha, the period immediately before the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, the Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. So the Gemara speaks about all kinds of things which will transpire then. And they're not, by and large, good things that will happen around then, around the onset of the Mashiach. And the Gemara says, for instance, that that Reb Nehoroi said, Dor Shem and David Ba, Ba in Orim Yalbinu Pnei Zkenim, Uzkenim Yamdu Lifnei Orim. The generation when David HaMelech comes, Orim Yalbinu Pnei Zkenim, young people will shame older ones. Uzakenim yamdu lifnei ne'orim. Older ones will stand up for the younger ones. Bas kama be'ima v'kala b'chamaisa. A daughter will rise up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Upnei ador kipnei hakelev. The face of the generation is like the face of a dog. Ein haben mispayish me'aviv. A son will have no shame in front of his father. Describing some, we've talked about this before, a complete upending of the order of generations and of respect. Tanya Rav Nechemya Eimer, Darshim and David Babai Ha'azus Tirbe, or Tarbe. Right? The generation when David HaMelech comes, Azus, arrogance, chutzpah will increase. Vayoyker Ya'aves, Yoyker, prices, inflation, will be a great distortion. Vagefen Yitain Puryoy Vayayin Beyoyker. The vine will give its fruit, but nevertheless, the wine will still be very expensive. In other words, even though grapes will be produced, but they're not going to produce good wine. It's one pshat in Rashi. Other pshat in Rashi is that no, even though grapes will be produced, but people will be so into drinking that there will still be wine will still be expensive. You just won't be able to keep up with the demand. It'll be a world of shikurim, right? V'nepcha, and he continues and he says v'nepcha kol hamalchus l'minus. The entire kingdom, the entire government, will be turned over to minus, to heresy. Ve'ein teichacha. And there'll be no one to rebuke, no conscience for the generation. Ve'sayele l'Rav Yitzchak, dam Rav Yitzchak, ein ben David bo, atzis tapich kol ha-malchus l'minus. Ben David will only come till the entire kingdom is given over to minus, to heresy. So you understand, Ben David comes, Mashiach comes, it's obviously heralding the opposite. Recognition of Hashem, the opposite of heresy. But the period which precedes it is complete heresy. Says the Gemara Amar Rava Mikra. What Pasuk tells you this? What Pasuk indicates this? Says Rava, amazingly, the Pasuk that we just read in our Parsha. Kulay hafach lavan taharhu. It all turned white, it is tahar. So what's it saying? As Rashi says, Kishaposhav hanega b'cholaor. When the nega spreads throughout all of the skin, then it is pure. Kach, kishenepcha kol ha-malchus l'minus tavei ha-geula. So too, when the entire kingdom turns heretical, it's not a little part of it, it's not a speck, a spot, the size of a bean or a blotch, the whole malchus turns to minus, then that's a sign of the impending geula. That's what the Gemara says. Fascinating drasha, right? Everything will go wrong. Oh, because kulei hafach lavan tohu. What does it mean? Right, nice hint from the Pasuk, but neither is the phenomenon understood, nor is the Pasuk understood. We start off having a problem with the Pasuk. Why, when he turns all white, is it tar? Now the Gemara is using that Pasuk to illustrate a phenomenon, which is that when Mashiach comes, before Mashiach comes, everything will go haywire. Right? Everything will be terrible. So we don't understand that either. If you understand one, maybe we'll understand the other. So the Maral in the Netzach Yisrael, Maral in Netzach Yisrael, I think it's in Perek Nun Gimel, the Maral explains that the idea behind this is as follows, that in order to be able to create a new world order, you have to get rid of the old one. Now, if a person wants to, they get a house and they want to fix it up, you know? So what do? So maybe they rip out the carpet in the living room and they put in a new carpet. They paint the dining room over again. Right? They'll add some molding over here and a tchotchke over there. It's fundamentally the same house. They just tinkered with it. They made it a little bit better here, a little bit nicer there. But if the person wants to really, really, do it in style, what do? Out comes the dumpster. Right? Boom, goes the wrecking ball. Right? They knock the thing down and they start again. They don't want to tinker. They say, we're going to mamish, make something. It's not going to have any of the flaws, any of the design issues, any of the limitations of the previous one. We're going to make it the way we need to make it. Says the Maharal that the tkufa, the period of Yemais HaMashiach, is in a sense chadoshos, right? Hashamayim hachadoshim v'oretz hachadosha. It's a complete remake of people's thinking. So it's not going to be just some kind of fine tuning that, you know, people will think this way and then we're going to come, we'll tweak a little bit, we'll add a little bit, we'll make it better. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be able to create completely new hanochas, completely new assumptions, completely new givens, to not just tinker with the world, but to make it wholly new and better, you have to knock the whole thing down and take a new one. So the sign of Malchus Nebcha Kula Laminus, the complete disbelief, if there's belief, like Ahinai or something like that, they'll take Moshiach, they'll take a Nekudala, they'll take a little point. But if instead it's all gone, it's all bad, and the presentation of Moshiach comes with a whole new doing, a whole makeover, so then, indeed, that heralds a new time. And that's Kulei Hafach Lavan Torah. Kulei Hafach Lavan Torah. The problem when the person has the Negatzaras is that here you have a person functioning, okay, right? Everything is there. And on the other hand, there's a piece, there's a part, there's a point in the flesh, something like that, that's Tameh. You have together a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Kulei Hafach Lavan is because it's very clear what it is. And it's been remade here completely such that it's completely, completely Lavan. It's completely Tameh. So you say, well, it's completely Tameh. It's all white. It's all the Tzaras. It's all... But in a sense, there's something to the Kulei Hafach Lavan Torahu, because then whatever was there before is so completely, whatever negative which is there before, it's now so, it's so completely gone. It's what we would call in the world of personal change, rock bottom. You know, people sometimes struggle to try to help a person. They should improve. They should be able to deal with their issue, their problem, whatever it is. Right? So sometimes, you know, you'll try, you'll work, can't accomplish anything. Person doesn't see, the person doesn't understand. After all, they're pretty much functioning, they just have this problem, and it goes over the end. So sometimes, you know what they say, and what's a reality is you wait for rock bottom. You wait for rock bottom. It's a very painful thing, it's a very difficult thing, but when it hits rock bottom, so then there are no assumptions anymore. The person realizes they have nothing, that it's not working at all, and then they can start. Kulei Hafach Lavan is an aspect of this kind of a thing of rock bottom. Before Yemais HaMashiach, it hits rock bottom, so that what comes in is not going to have to fight any existing assumptions. It's going to be so empty, so vacuous, that it will just be able to come in and fill the space. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shekol nehi b'dvarim. Now, that's what the Maharal says on this Gemara application of Kulei Hafach Lavan. And it's an insight into Kulei Hafach Lavan. It's an insight, I think, into life and into so many processes that we have in life. But I want to try to now, as we said, to move from the Gemara, to take it back a little bit, to look a little bit more broadly at this. Because indeed, Negatzaras is seen in a much broader context. We spoke before about the connotations of it with the power of speech, with the presence of death. And if we want to really go back to the beginning of it, Tzaras has its makor, has its roots, and its associations in the earliest and the original of Al Chatoim. You know, the Nachash, the snake, was considered, of course, to be the first Malshin, the first one to speak Lashon Hara. The snake said about the Rabbeinu Shalom, about God himself, that, oh, come on, the reason why he doesn't want you to eat from the Eitz Hadas is because if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll be like him. And the Ma Yisroel Lebal HaLashon, that Chazal interpreted it about the Nachash HaKadmoni, about the original snake, the Yetzahara. Chazal even saw that that original snake was plagued with Tzaras. They saw an association between, again, you can find this maybe, okay, but that's not something which I'm telling you, it's something which is found in Chazal in the Midrashim, that the snake's patterns on its back, right, is in itself a reflection of this kind of a thing of tzoras. And certainly the snake's association with death, both in the story in Bereshis and in life itself, the snake is considered that way, something that brings death, is there all the time. Is there all the time. The Chazal saw so much of that in there. They saw just as the snake is the beginning of the end for man, they saw in Tzoras, beginnings of those ends. Chazal darshan, Adam chiyabasar eis, eisapachas, eibaheres, v'hoya v'ar besar l'nega Tzoras. So you have four different names here, negative names. Se'eis, sapachas, baheres, and Tzoras. And they see in that the four malchias, the four kingdoms that put the Jewish people in bondage. Again, all somehow factors of this downfall that came from the original sin and the vulnerabilities that came from there. So we can talk about it generally, but when we look at it in terms of what we just learned about now, I think we find something which is very pointed and very much on mark. The chet of the nachash, the chet of the snake, or the wrong which the snake committed, was getting Adam and Chava to partake of what was known as the Eitz Hadas Tovara, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the way we normally translate it. What's the Eitz Hadas Tovara? What is that, the idea of the knowledge of good and evil? Right, everyone knows, and I've said it over to you many times, the famous question on it, as formulated by the Rambam in the beginning of the Mara Nevuchim. We would normally see knowledge of good and evil as a good thing. Well, we talk about people who know what's good, who know what's bad, and we say, they have a sense. We say a sense of right and wrong. So it seems strange that it's a terrible thing to eat from the tree that gives you that knowledge. It seems strange that Hashem should forbid it and should say, if you do that, you will die. When in fact, without knowledge of good and evil, what are we? And when we get knowledge of good and evil, we grow, we graduate into people of moral sensitivity and wisdom. Right? That's the basic question in terms of simply translating Das Tovara. Why is that a bad thing? Why isn't that a wonderful thing? And the Rambam has his approach, where he says, before they knew right and wrong, now they knew good and bad. Before they knew emes and sheker, truth and falsehood, they saw things much more clearly. Now, it was good and bad, which is a much more subjective analysis. So we'll kind of come back to that Rambam, Emir Tashem, a little bit later. And in the way of the Rambam, even though that those terms aren't used, we find others like the Rambam. But there is a way that it's viewed. There is a way that it's expressed in a very different translation of Das Tevora, but which is, again, while it's all a different way of expressing it, it comes back to, in the root, what everybody sees as part of this chet. And I'll tell you what it is. Das Tovara is the joining together, the mixing together of Tovara. Right? Das is chibur. Das is connection. In a certain sense, sometimes we speak about Das as being Mavdil, as being able to distinguish. Right? Im ein das, havdolo minayim, the Gemara says. If you don't have das, how can you distinguish? That's why when it's Matzah Shabbos, we daven Mariv, where do we say the bracha of havdolo in the Shemona Esrei? In the bracha of atachonein la'odam, das. Atachonatonu l'mada terasecha. Why? Because we say, when we ask Hashem to grant us das, that's when we're going to be able to be mavdil, we're going to be able to distinguish. On the one hand, of course, wisdom is the ability to discriminate and understand the differing qualities that separate one thing from the next. Imein das havdolo minayim. But on the other hand, we also know that das is chibur, is connection. When the pasuk describes, for example, Adam and Chava coming together, the pasuk is v'adam yodas Chava ishtai. And Adam knew Chava, his wife. That's a term of forging, of real connection, of attachment. Das, Tovara, in a certain sense, is the bringing together, the melting together of Tovara. Such that, instead of a world
where things are good separate from bad, instead we end up with a world where it's one big jumble, where everything is good and bad, and it's mixed up together. It's mixed up together. The Rambam, as we said before, how the Rambam poses the question. How does the Rambam answer the question? The Rambam answers the question by saying that before Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, he saw things as true and false. True and false are absolute terms. Good and bad are very subjective terms. And I'll repeat what I'm sure I've said to many of you before. The Rambam says, the world is the earth is round. Good or bad? So you say, you don't say good or bad, you say true or false, because that's a false statement. The earth is flat is false, the earth is round is true. Now you don't say good or bad on that. Chocolate cake, true or false? Right? So you don't say true or false on that, you say good or bad, right? Depending if you're smart or not. Right? So, you know, it's a chocolate cake. Good, right? Not true. Right? Stealing. True or false? No, we say good or bad. Why is that? Right, we use the same categorizations, the same terms, not just in English, in Lashon Kodesh, for stealing, for murder, for moral behaviors, as we use for chocolate cake, not as we use for the objective truths, like whether the earth is round or flat. And that's a very sobering thing. Says the Rambam, that's the idea. Because when it came to behaviors which quote-unquote are good or bad, it's complicated, it's not clear, it's not sharp. The distinctions end up being very much subjective. And so, the idea that man now became knowing Teva Ra is a downgrade from what was there before, which is Emes and Sheker. That's the way he formulates it. Right? The Ramban describes Das Teva Ra. Again, it's just all a matter of semantics as to how to translate it. He says Das, it does not mean knowledge, and it does not mean connection. It doesn't mean distinguishing. Das means interest, desire. Leishanu Elisha, datam lachzor. Datam lachzor means it's their intention, they're motivated, they want to go back to where they came from. So he says, Das Tevaraz, people became motivated by these things, driven by these things. Instead of being objective, what's right, what's wrong, instead, their desire started filtering into it. And that confused the issue. So everybody understands one way or the other that subjectivity began. And in subjectivity comes a blurring of lines between that which is true and false, that which is good and bad, that which is right and wrong. And it gets mixed up together. But in a sense, the way I said it to you before, which is not found in the Rishonim, but is found in many works of Jewish thought, and Sifrei Chassidus and others, is that Das Tevara is actually bringing together good and bad. So it's not so sharply distinguished from each other. And again, it's not a different world than the Ramban and the Rambam. It's a different way to speak of it than the Ramban and the Rambam. They get mixed up together. Right? Robin Hood was a thief, and he was a philanthropist. Right? Good or bad, right? It gets mixed up together. We wish that sometimes we lived in a world of black and white where it was clear one thing from the other. But it's not that way. It's not that way. Chazal tell us that you don't choose a person in the Sanhedrin unless they know how to argue to be Metaris Hasheretz. They know how to argue to purify Hasheretz. Hasheretz is Tameh, it's Aser. The Torah says that it's Aser. But you only give him, you only allow it if he's able to somehow be Mitar the Sheretz. Right? So in Svarim it explains, the idea is because the world isn't black and white. The world is this mixture of the different sides, of different aspects. And if a person is sitting there and only sees whatever the dominant color is, whatever seems to be the prevailing color, they're not looking at it with nuance and with depth. If they're looking at it closely, if they're able to see it, then they're able to see, you know something? There's a side of this that is good. There's a side of this that is pure. okay, now maybe it's not the prevailing one. Maybe it's not the one that should be the halacha. We don't want him to vote in the end that the sheretz is tahar. But he should be able to see it. He should be able to argue that point, argue that side. Because life is complicated. The Maharal explains, that's why in Torah we have machlokas. And in a sense we even celebrate machlokas in Torah. Arguments. Why? Because when you have two people taking two different sides of an issue, it's not necessarily that one of them is right and one of them is completely wrong. It's that issues are complex. And there are mixtures of factors. And one of them is seeing this perspective, this aspect of it, and the other one is seeing the other aspect of it. So they're not... It's not like one person is calling Yamin Smol and one of them is calling Smol Yamin. One is calling what right is left, left is right. It's not as sharp as that. In the world, the way we have things are mixed together. Toi v'ra are mixed together. And the Eit Hadas accomplished that. The Eit Hadas blurred lines. It blurred lines between one thing and the other. Adam, before he ate from the Eit Hadas, he understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. The spirit dominated and the physicality was put in its place, was secondary, subordinate. It was not a driver that would ever confuse a person from his spiritual goals. That's the way it ought to have been. But then the nachash, the snake, came and the snake confused the matter. And he put into the person such a thing that the person would also be driven by material things. And we end up with something, you know, people call sometimes the Fruma Yetzer Hara. You know, you want to do something, you don't know if you're motivated by good reasons or by bad reasons. You can't tell whether it's the snake or whether it's the angel with the halo that's telling you to do it. Everything gets mixed up together. The combination of motivations that are within the person. Right? You wonder about the nochash, about the snake, coming up to the woman and talking to her. That in itself is this sort of tishtush hagvulin. It's this blurring of the boundaries. Hashem made Adam. Adam, he says, needs to find a mate. Adam went and reviewed all the animals and he said, they have nothing to do with me. So Hashem made a human being, Chava, to go along with Adam. And the next thing you know, right, the snake is proposing talking to Chava, trying to blur the boundaries back again. No, there isn't such a big difference between an Adam and a Behemoth. It's the blurring. It's the blurring that's the reality of the world now, which we can't avoid in a sense. It's the reality of the world now, but which is the most complex. Which adds to the tremendous complexity of things. Things aren't pure. Things aren't clear. Things aren't simple. And it's the beginning as well. Right, that's the Reish of the Golias. It's the Reish of the Arba Golias, of all the subjectivity, of all the failures and falling of the Jewish people. Because we live in a world where Ra, bad, has the ability to be Gaiver, to control, because there's no Tov without it. There's no good that doesn't have the Ra in it, mixed into it. We live in a world where it's been mixed up together. The Metzaira is the classic example of that. Aaron HaKayan said to Moshe Rabbeinu when Miriam was Metzairas Kasholek, he said, "Al noti kameis asher betzeisai merecha mimoy vayechel chati b'sarai." You know what she is? She's half alive and she's half dead. And she's like the mace who comes out of the mother and half of the flesh is eaten up. Now, different ways, of course, one can understand that very jarring image which Aaron HaKohen poses to Moshe Rabbeinu. But in a sense, right, it's not Vayachel B'Sarai, right? So Rashi says, you know, she's your sister, and if she's dead like this, that means that if you're like one, you know, brother and sister, then it's like half of your flesh as well. It's not about her, it's really about you, and he's speaking euphemistically. But in a certain sense, of course, he's just speaking about Miriam. And it's Vayachel Chatzi B'Sarai. Because the Metzora is the living dead. The Metzora is the picture of the ultimate confusion, of Taivara, of the loss of the boundary. A living person with features of death in them, in their flesh. Strange. Rishoyim b'chayeyim keruyim meisim. Right? Evil people in their lifetimes are called dead. What's the idea? They're alive, they're breathing, they're doing, but they're living just in the world of mortality. The only thing that's real to them is the stuff that's going to disappear and be meaningless when they die, when they, you know, at the end of their physical lives. That's living the contradiction. That's living the contradiction of Chaim and Misa and Chaim. At the same time, Tzadikim af Misasam Kruyim Chaim. Tzadikim, even when they're dead, they're called Chaim. Right? Just Chaim persists and goes on. The melting of the two of them together, the inability to separate. This is, in a great sense, the beginning of the complications, the beginning of the problem. In this context, you can understand that if somehow, you know, the Metzora, the Tzaras, is traced back to the earliest of Chatoim, to the root of all evil, and the root of all evil is the mixing together of evil into every measure of good, so then we understand that in this case of Kulay Hafach Lavan, when it's all white, Tor, what do you mean? When it's all white, it's all Tameh. It's all Tameh. But you know something? When you know that something is clearly, absolutely Tameh, isn't that, to a certain degree, the greatest clarity, the greatest relief? Yeah, because Kulay Hafach Lavan Torhu. Because you can call a spade, because you're not any more subject into this confusion where there's some good trapped in there. So you're not really sure, is this off? Is this good? If I write it off, then I'm losing the good that was there. Kulay hafach lovam. It's all menuga. Right? The problem of the tzaras is the mixture. Is chatzi b'sarai. Is the mixture of life and death. The solution is when you know what's what. When you know what's what. Okay, say a little bit differently than the way the Maharal says it, of, you know, destruction before you're able to build a completely new thing in its place. But it's in being able to see. It's in being able to see so sharply, so clearly what it is. The idea that, you know, by the Yemais HaMashiach they'll come and they'll be able to shech the Yetzer Hara, get rid of the Nachash. It's clarity. No, it's the absolute clarity which Chazal speak about coming at that point in time. When you'll see a door which is nepcha kula l'minus, when the whole thing turns to minus, to heresy. So all pretense of trying to say, okay, well, this is a good thing, even though its source and even though its reality is not in that which is good, is not in that which is true. That which ends up confusing us so much in this world. But when the Malchus is Nebchal Aminus, when it becomes so crazy, so ridiculous, that you can point to it and you can say, this is completely wrong. Then you are able to have the greatest clarity about what's right. The greatest ability to be able to tell what it is. To be Mavchen. To be able to distinguish. Mitzrayim and Kol Yisrael, Golus Mitzrayim, as we talk about these days, and in these Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, Golus Mitzrayim is interesting. It's different in a certain sense than other Goliyos. And perhaps we can say it in a positive sense. Of course, the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim. They were stuck in Mitzrayim. But you know, the Sforna says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending Yaakov to go down to Mitzrayim to Yosef, or not, he told him, don't worry about going down to Mitzrayim. He said to him, don't worry about going down to Mitzrayim. Ki l'goy gadol asim hashom. I'll make you into a great nation there. Says the Sforna that, you know, you're here in Canaan. It's not going to be so easy to become a great nation. To become a great nation, a distinct nation, Kal Yisrael standing by itself, you're a small number. You're surrounded by all these people. Who says you're not going to mix and match? But if you're going to go to Mitzrayim, you're so different than the Egyptians. The Egyptians can't eat together with them, with an Ivri, right? Before laws of kashrus, the Egyptians had their own limitations, right? What we eat, they couldn't stand, they couldn't be around. There were things about the Mitzri nature and the Mitzri culture that made the Jewish people polar opposites. And so said the Sforna. Hashem said, you know, Hashem said to Yaakov, don't worry about going down there. You have a better chance there than you have here. You have a better chance there than you have here. Your distinction, as we say in the Agoda Shel Pesach, Hisham L'goy Melamit Shal Yisrael Mitzriyonim Shom. The Jewish people were distinct there. Right? That was the strength in a certain sense. We were in Golos. We were brought down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is called the Tanin HaGadol. It's called the big snake. Right? In so many ways. And Paroi, by the way, when we speak about Vayamas Melch Mitzrayim, what do Chazal say? Mitzara. He became a Mitzaira. So something to discuss for itself, but not unrelated in a sense to what we talk about here. But in a sense, right, that, and what Chazal go on accent about how the Jewish people, Leshinu Shmam, Leshoinam, Malbusham, about Goy, Bikerev Goy, a nation from the midst of another nation. Yes, of course, there were things in Golos Mitzrayim that brought the Jewish people together with the Mitzrim. But when we look at the Geula, or the Zechuyos, which the Jewish people held on to, which led them to Geula, it was in how strongly the differences remained. How there could be no illusion that would exist there of togetherness. That's to a great degree where it is. I've talked to you before about Atotire Asher Eselafare. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro, he says, please let my people go. Give them a few days off. Paro says, what? How dare you? Right? And he says, Tichba d'avayda. We're going to make the work even more intense, more difficult for the Jewish people. They're going to have to collect and bring their bricks. And Moshe Rabbeinu is so upset, and the Shaitrim of the Jewish people are so upset. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, look what you did since I went to Parai. Hey, Olam, as I made things worse. And Hashem says, now you're going to be able to see what I'm going to do to Parai. Because you went to Parai and you asked him for a few days off. You thought he was on your side. You thought redemption would come from him? You thought he would be a partner for a second in your redemption? Pare is feh. Pare is the one who's the antithesis, the opposite. He's everything bad. I'll show you. Now that you'll see that Pare is absolutely not on your side, he's making life worse for you. Now you can understand. Any illusions which you have about Pare have to be shattered. You have to see clearly. You have to see clearly. Ata chaynein l'adam das u'malamed l'anesh bina. You know, it's a fascinating thing that in Yitzias Mitzrayim we make a big deal out of something. And the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisetze that people should keep fair, honest weights and measures. And remember, because I'm Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. Says the Gemara, Rashi quotes it. It says, you know, in Mitzrayim, I was able to be mafkin, I was able to distinguish. I traveled through Mitzrayim and I killed every firstborn. Not so easy to tell who's a firstborn. you know, don't know, woman married to one person, married to another person, what the history is, Jews, not Jews, in this house, not in this house. But Hashem was machid. Hashem distinguished. And that was what had to happen. So I can tell also, I can tell if you put your weights in salt a little bit to change their weight, you know, to make them a little bit lighter, so you'd have to give a little bit less than you were giving out meat to your customers using the weights. Havchana, distinction. Atar chaynein l'odam das umulamid l'nesh bina. Hamavdil bein kodesh l'choil, bein or l'choshech, bein Yisrael l'amin. The ability to distinguish, like light from darkness, the sacred from the profane, the Jewish people from the nations. Kachatzois halayla, I'm going to say this, that's right. Moshe Rabbeinu quoted Hashem. Hashem said, I'm going to go out to Mitzrayim exactly as the night split. Kachatzois. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kachatzois. Around the night. It's such a unique ability. A perfect ability, a divine ability to distinguish, to divide. Okay, this is before midnight, this is after midnight, this is it, this is midnight. The whole Mitzrayim is about Havchana. And we don't have Havchana. We don't have it. We don't have that sharp ability to distinguish. It's a chesaron in das. It's a lack of das. It means das. Havdalah min ayin. Das is required to really be able to define, to see. This is right, this is wrong. This is true, this is false. But the world around us is confused. The elements within our world are confused. We're confused. Geula, Geulas Mitzrayim. Tali b'havchana. It's dependent on this ability to be able to distinguish. Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. The Jewish people are crossing over the Yam Suf. The Malachim say, what's the difference? Difference. Hashem is there to show the difference. Mitzrayim are drowned by the Yam Suf, and the Jewish people are saved by the Yam Suf. V'hiflesi b'yoymahu. V'hiflu Hashem bein. Distinction, distinction, distinction in the greatest of difficulties. Kulei hafach lovan Torah. I don't want to go on. No need to go on. The yisayid of the principle. This is the idea. To be able to distinguish. You know, in many sforim it says that mitzayra is mitzi ra. Is spitting out the bad, taking out the bad, being able to somehow to distinguish, to define what's what, to purge, to separate, to bring back to a world where it's not all mixed up together, to a world of kulay hafach lava. And that means where you know exactly what's lava and what's tameh, and you know exactly what's not. Not these sort of mixtures. Not these sort of chatzi v'sara. That's the world in which tumah really exists. The world where it's bi'irbuvia, where the things function together. And they function together. Kal Yisrael, the Jewish people, when we left Mitzrayim, because evidently we were able to see clearly, Hashem gave us a window of being able to see clearly. B'chatzos, you know, how to distinguish, how to separate. Amiyu she'ibchanti, to show the difference between two sides. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to some degree that thing, that ability to do it. But ultimately, the way He gave it to us was not just through the flash at midnight of Makas Bucheres. Ultimately, it was because from Yitzias Mitzrayim we went to Matan Torah. And Matan Torah is the granting of Das. And it's in the granting of Das which gives the person Lahayres to be able to distinguish, as we said in last week's Parsha, in Parsha Shemini, when we spoke about the role of the Kayan and the Meira in Avodas Hashem, as we said it before, the whole parsha of the things which are forbidden. So the pasuk says that Aaron HaKayin was told, Yain v'shechar al teish, he shouldn't drink wine and toxicants that will confuse him. Lahavdil bein ha-kodesh u-bein ha-chol, u-bein ha-tome u-bein ha-tor, ul-hares es-b'nei Yisrael. That's what the Torah is there for, to teach us distinction, to teach us the difference between kodesh l'chol, bein tome l'tor, bein Yisrael l'amin, to show us as sharply as possible a distinction in a world which is very, very confused, to be able to somehow set it apart. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us to be able to see clearly. And whether it's going to come through the positive of being able to see that which is right, or whether it's going to come because Hamalchus Nephaluminus, that the world itself will continue, it seems, in its path of towards, you know, hurtling towards greater and greater confusion, to the point where we'll say, that's not it. That's not it. We'll be able to see where it is. Halavai, we should be able to. The first bracha in the bracha of request is the bracha of das, because das is the tnai. To see as clearly as we can. We should be zeichet to see as clearly as we can, to be mafchin, and in that way to be zeichet to be shlema.